On Sunday afternoon, November 7th, 2010, the First Unitarian Church in Oakland, California, was filled to capacity. Friends and comrades of Marilyn Buck had come together to celebrate her life and to honor her fellow political prisoners, whose cause she had made her own. It was an afternoon of spoken word and music that needed to be recorded and remembered, and it is to the struggle of Marilyn and other political prisoners, past and present, that this three-part program is dedicated. For those hearing this who have little or no knowledge of Marilyn Buck, she was one of America's longest-held political prisoners, having served 33 years in federal detention. Those prison walls only contained her body, but they could not break her spirit, as the people you will hear in this program lovingly testify. Marilyn passed away on August 3, 2010, in what became, if only briefly, her new home in Brooklyn, New York. She was 62 years old. On July 15th, 3 weeks before that, and ill with incurable cancer, Marilyn was released from the Federal Bureau of Prisons medical facility in Carswell, Texas, and paroled to New York City. Her original parole date had been August 8th, but thanks to the efforts of her longtime friend and lawyer, Sophia Elijah, who you will hear on the second part of this program, she was freed 3 weeks early. Marilyn was serving an 80-year prison sentence for having dedicated her life to the fight against racial injustice. The government would not forgive her for having participated, as a white woman, in the black liberation struggle in the 60s and 70s, and in particular, assisting in the freeing of Assata Shakur, now living in Cuba. You will hear Assata's loving tribute to Marilyn in the second part of this program, and her voice message at the beginning of part three. In prison, Marilyn was an advocate for the women with whom she was incarcerated and remained a steadfast supporter of her fellow political prisoners. Several of them were at the church to honor their departed sister, and you will hear their voices in each part of the program. This first segment begins with the traditional libation offered by Mama Ayana Mashama from the Malcolm X grassroots movement, followed by a welcome to the celebrants by Judy Siff and Donna Wilmot from the Friends of Marilyn Buck, both of them former political prisoners. They will introduce Linda Evans and Susan Rosenberg, two of her co-defendants, in what became to be known as the Resistance Conspiracy Case. They are followed by Yuri Kuchiyama, a legendary figure in the political prisoner support movement. She was with Malcolm X on the day he was assassinated. Then you will hear Melanie D. Moore singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, followed by the poet Maisha Quint reading one of Marilyn's poems. After that will be Alicia Rodriguez, a former political prisoner from Puerto Rico, who speaks of the time she shared with Marilyn in the women's prison in Dublin, California, followed by fellow artist Miranda Bergman. The first part will conclude with a farewell to Marilyn from Gemma Merkinson, who was with Marilyn in New York when she died.
I was thinking about Marilyn when I first heard about Marilyn, and in my intense revolutionary New African nationalist learning phase. And I remember talking to Matulu and asking him about her. And, you know, he said, she's my comrade. And he told me about her courage and her power and her love. And I've always carried that with me in honoring Marilyn, and when I can, I have been able to teach about her. So I'm here, Mama Ayana, to pour libation. I ask permission of my elders. May I pour libation? I believe Yuri would be my esteemed elder. Mama Yuri, may I pour libation? Thank you. We honor the ancestors through pouring, and when I pour the water and say Ashe, we answer back with Ashe. And that is akin to saying Amen, and so it is, saying yes. In thinking about the contributions that North American European anti-imperialists have given to the liberation movement, I went to the words of Star Hawk, and when she was at one of like the G8 demonstrations and talking with young people and the women and why they were there, you know, and understanding why we do this. And we do it not just to save ourselves, but to save the world. Giving thanks to the Almighty Creator of all life, known by many names, Allah, Olodumare, Jah, Jehovah, the Christ, Buddha, Krishna, the Great Spirit. Giving thanks to that which brings forth life and love throughout the universe, Ashe. Giving thanks to the divine energies, the sacred energies, the blessings of this universe, the heavenly bodies that bring us synchronicity and harmony and allow us to know that there is more and we are connected to all of it. Ashe.
Ashe.
Giving thanks to the divine relations, the sun, the air, the earth, the waters, for all that is here on this earth. Ashe. Giving thanks to the abundant blessings that come forward from this planet, Pachamama, for the life-giving sustenance and nourishment and supply that is given to us each day, that it may be replenished and brought forward to us in the form of our comfort, our nourishment, our needs being taken care of, our life being sustained and brought forward day by day unto the generations. Ashe. Giving thanks to the ancestors from the original mother and father until Marilyn, to the ancestors from all sides, the patrilineal, mother, father, divine energies that have brought forth life on this planet from the first life until the next breath. Ashe. And giving thanks to those who began to fight and resist and create in opposition to oppression and colonialism and imperialism and sexism, to those who have resisted and fought, and all those who have resisted and fought, because there was never a time that there was not an understanding that peace and harmony are a divine right. Ashe.
Ashe.
And to those who were here, to those who survived the Middle Passage, and to those who gave their lives to the Middle Passage, who resisted, fought, who did everything they could so that there would be a culture, a life for all of us. Ashe.
Ashe.
And then whose land we are on, the peoples whose land we live on, who were here, who are sustainers of the earth, who joined with us, we give thanks. And thank you for all that you have taught us. Ashe.
Ashe.
And to all the freedom fighters who have given their life in the name of justice, in the name of liberation, in the name of freedom, in the name of love, so that we may come together right here, right now, in this place and time, and honor liberation and live it. Ashe.
Ashe.
And to the unborn, may the world that they come to Welcome them with open arms, have a place for them. May our acts, our words, our actions, our deeds, that which we give from our hearts into this life, prepare for them that they may live in freedom and liberation and justice, harmony and balance on this planet. Ashe.
Ashe.
May we center in the love that we have here for us, for each other, for those who have gone before, for Marilyn, Buck, Ashe.
Ashe.
For my sons, Anthony and Katari Gant, Ashe.
Ashe.
For my son, Javad Jahi, Ashe.
Ashe.
Imario Badeli,
Ashe.
Ashe. And may we take a moment and give honor to those who have passed, whose names are said, those known and unknown, those seen and unseen. Ashe.
Ashe.
Amen. And so it is.
Thank you, Mama Ayana. So again, welcome everyone. My name is Donna Wilmot.
And my name is Judy Siff. And on behalf of all the people who worked so hard tonight to bring this event together, we really want to thank you all for coming out. Our hearts are really full tonight. There are no words that are adequate to express the feelings and emotions of any one of us individually, let alone all of us collectively. I want to share with you just that when a thought and a plan and a hope that Marilyn had before in the last months before she was released, she spoke often and had a passionate desire when she, upon her release to organize a huge party and gathering in November. And guess what? You were the people she would have invited. This was the event that she wanted. You were the people that she wanted there to share, to reflect, to look backward and to look forward and to continue the work. So this evening, we are here together to join in exactly that event. This is Marilyn's event, and this is an event in which we want to bring forward her spirit.
Marilyn's passing, which came so soon after her release from 25 years of incarceration, leaves us grieving really deeply, and we just think that it's important that at the same time that we grieve, that we remember that she left us incredible legacies, incredible gifts, the gift of her legacy as a revolutionary woman, as an artist, as a poet, and also her legacy, so the gift of her weaving together a community of people who she influenced from California to Paris to South Africa to Latin America. She had a huge impact on so many people through her correspondence, through her writings, through her visits, through her life. She left an incredible, incredible legacy for us. This community of people who are here tonight, is a small part of this vast community that Marilyn wove together. And, you know, it includes her comrades from prison, her co-defendants, people who struggled with her on many fronts, as well as, you know, many social justice activists from people who have been in the struggle for many years to a newer generation. It encompasses her godchildren, the many poets and artists and teachers that she influenced, her spiritual teachers. All of these people really, really form a web that we feel like is a Marilyn web. And today we really hope to remember her not with nostalgia, but really with a very renewed commitment to the work that was Marilyn's life, to work for the breadth of human liberation. That really was the passion that guided her from a very young age. So we have several people who will be speaking today, telling little parts of Marilyn's life. And After that, we welcome everyone to join us in the social hall for some food. But to begin with, we would like to introduce our first speakers. Linda Evans and Susan Rosenberg are two of Marilyn's co-defendants, her sister's comrades in clandestinity, and who later were imprisoned with her for many, many long years of imprisonment for their actions in challenging empire. So with a warm welcome, Linda Evans and Susan Rosenberg. Ovations will we give for Marilyn Buck tonight? Many, many. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for organizing this tribute, this celebration of her life. This was a lot of work, and it gave all of us the opportunity to come together and remember Marilyn and celebrate that we were honored to know her. So thank you. In some ways, I think I was luckier than many of you because I lived with Marilyn in prison for a lot of years. And so I would like my piece of the quilt that we're weaving tonight to be just a few remembrances of her in prison and what it meant that she was there and how the women that she lived with would be celebrating her. I think first they would celebrate her as a teacher because she taught everyone the whole time that she was in prison. She taught yoga, she taught art, she taught pottery, she taught poetry, and she taught self-consciousness of ourselves as women to many of the young women that were there who maybe had never been in touch with that understanding of their own power and their own strength. I think they would all remember her as an artist because she was constantly making art. Sculpture, as many of you know, until her hands got red and worn with infection. Poetry, she was a writer, she was a playwright. I think they would celebrate her also as a counselor, a friend, a comrade to those of us that were political. They would celebrate her as an organizer. Because while she was in prison, she was a true organizer. She organized the Prisoners Fight AIDS Walkathon with others of us, the Pleasanton AIDS Counseling and Education Program, and then many responses to racism, whether it was in the multicultural program inside the prison or the responses that she organized to the burnings of black churches in the South. So the picture that we have of Marilyn from those of us that lived with her inside is also multifaceted. It has real depth. And one thing that I think is very important in the discourse as we remember her is that I don't believe Marilyn would have looked at her life as a sacrifice. I believe that she would want us to remember that she embraced her choices. She embraced those decisions. And she lived fully. She found joy and purpose and was committed to the struggle, to building the struggle for equality and liberation and the fight against racism, white supremacy, and imperialism. Her life was full, not a sacrifice. Although, of course, many of us wish that she was out here with us today and for many years previous. But some of that is selfish. I know I felt robbed when the last time that I saw her was in the visiting room. But her essence lives on. And I think she is an example of taking those choices, embracing the choices that we make for revolution, for liberation,
and implementing them in our lives day to day, wherever we are. Marilyn takes her place among all those that have dedicated their lives to struggle. And her legacy is not a personal, individual legacy. It is what we build together and how we, as her comrades, as her community, can actually rededicate ourselves to action in pursuit of liberation, in pursuit of building our movement for change. I hope that coming from this celebration of her life, we will all rededicate ourselves even more to freeing the rest of our political prisoners, the comrades that have been locked up for far too long. Marilyn Buck, presente.
Well, like Linda, I'd like to thank everybody. This is amazing. And I can see that this would be the party and the people that Marilyn would want. And I knew she wanted a party, and we wanted to organize a party for her in New York, but it just couldn't happen. We didn't make it. I guess my part of the tapestry is I've been thinking a lot about Marilyn, and I've been thinking about the points where I had the honor and the pleasure to cross with Marilyn Buck. And there are different points. I'm going to just talk about a few of them, where repression breeds resistance, and acts of resistance have profound consequences. And I met Marilyn at different points on that continuum. What was common in every encounter and time that I spent with Marilyn was that her spirit and her will and her commitment and her fundamental, beautiful humanity was always, always in overdrive. And her tenacity was something that motivated me to be a part of the revolutionary movement more than any single individual. Marilyn Buck meant to me, join the revolution. And that was something I tried to do and was really fortunate to be able to do it with Marilyn. I think about the first time our paths crossed, and it was at a party in New York at Susan Tipograph's loft. And Marilyn was on a furlough from Alderson. And as I recall, there were hundreds of people at this party. And it was a time when, in New York at least, there was still a large anti-imperialist left, which was great. And it was a slamming party. And the next thing I knew, the next morning, was that Marilyn was gone into the whirlwind. And it, you know, it was interesting because at the time, Marilyn didn't have a lot of prison time left to do at that furlough, at that moment. And there was a big debate about should she have left, why didn't she go back, she should have gone back, then she would have been out, then she would have been free, you know, it would have been easier. But Marilyn always made decisions based on the movement and the movement's needs. And in terms of her alignment and her politics and her priorities, she always had that as the definition. It predominated every choice that she ever made that I know of. And I think what's important about that decision at that point was that she inspired us to take to heart the idea that self-determination, including the right to armed struggle, wasn't simply a rhetorical statement. And I know that's hard to hear today, but that was her joining the whirlwind at that moment was representative of that. When I was at MCC in New York many years later, I happened to be in the hole for some reason, and I don't remember why now, and rumors were swirling that Marilyn and Linda had been busted. and that they were coming to MCC New York. As it turned out, the authorities put Marilyn in a cell in segregation right next to me. And I was beyond upset because I felt that my arrest had been the cause of Marilyn and Linda's arrest. And it was a very intense time of repression and trials and encirclements and people making a lot of mistakes. And we couldn't hear each other between the cells, but we knew that we were next to each other. And there was one place on the floor of these cells that had space, and we found that space. And she lay down on the floor on one side of the cell, and I lay down on the other side of the cell, and we talked. And I remember I was crying and crying and crying and talking and talking, and finally at some point Marilyn said, "Susan, it's not your fault. It's part of revolutionary struggle, and besides, we had a pretty good run." So her generosity of spirit at that moment is not something that I ever have forgotten and that I carry with me forever. And her forgiveness was really something that saved my sanity at that particular moment. The last time I want to talk about is when I saw her, and I had the great pleasure, one of the greatest pleasures of my entire life, to see her come off the plane into the airport with Dr. Barbara Zeller and Sophia Elijah. And they wheeled her out of the terminal at New York in this past summer. And it was breathtaking. It was beyond breathtaking because Marilyn was free. And she was, again, so generous of spirit. And in the midst of all of us crying and being overwhelmed and being overjoyed, Marilyn took time to talk to every person who was there waiting for her, people that she had never met and she didn't know. And she ended up having a conversation with my adopted daughter, who she had never met, for like, I don't know, the whole time we were moving to the car. And in those compressed moments, they had this exchange. And once again, it was Marilyn doing her thing. Marilyn is with us. And I believe Marilyn will always be with us. And I know that Marilyn would want us to make sure that we carry the work, that we carry on the work, and that we work to free everyone else, that we do it in the context of fighting for social justice and social change. And I know that Marilyn, as she has always demanded that people step up, she would do it today. Marilyn, I love you so. Marilyn, I know we love you so. You made such a difference. Thank you.
That was Susan Rosenberg. The next to speak was Yuri Kuchiyama.
My friendship with Marilyn began over 30 years ago. After she went to prison, I heard the stories of her bravery and her commitment to the struggle. She took strong principled stands against imperialism and racism. I began writing her letters and later visiting her in prison. Even with all that she endured, Marilyn didn't turn bitter. She remained positive. She supported fellow political prisoners. She managed to stay informed and in touch with the fight for justice all over the world. No bars could restrain her heart. Marilyn loved red poppies. To Marilyn, red poppies were a sign of life, a blaze of color, which Marilyn explained made death and honor one. Delicate, vulnerable, bringing smiles to faces, Marilyn lived for others. She began her life of activism in Texas and then moved around without stopping to fight racism, injustices, and brutality. She became a leader, but was also a follower and a team player. Marilyn was a fighter. She was courageous. She was humble. She inspired. She never seemed to tire. She was a poppy that would not wilt. Marilyn managed to provide arms to the Black Panthers, but she also wrote poems, lovely and powerful. She loved humanity. She loved life. She loved peace and quiet. She was a teacher when needed, but also she was a student. And most of all, she was a sister to all of us. Today, as we celebrate her life, we carry her in our hearts. And as we leave here today, let us treat each other with kindness and compassion. Let us be courageous as we stand against racism and injustice. And let us never give up. Like Marilyn, let us be humble and powerful and beautiful, so that the seeds of this wild red poppy continue to bloom.
I was very remiss because I did not introduce Yuri Kochiyama, our wonderful comrade. We are so honored to have her with us here in the Bay Area. She's a lifelong fighter for liberation and has built and strengthened the movement to free all the political prisoners and prisoners of war consistently through her life. We love you, Yuri.
Yuri Kochiyama was followed by Melanie DeMore.
Toe to toe, and till there's no more injustice, no more. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and for to carry me.
Melanie DeMoore was followed by poet Maisha Quint, who read a poem by Marilyn Buck, after which she introduced former Puerto Rican political prisoner Alicia Rodriguez.
Because we both shared a love, a belief in words, because we strung these words one after another, piecing together poems that became our lives. Because we both knew these poems, these words, can burst open any mind, any heart, so something like love can slip, sink in. Rescue the Word by Marilyn Buck. Sacred words are in danger, fugitives, they seek cover, bury themselves alive, shamed by the profane purposes they are forced to serve, dressed in lily-white lies. Words are in danger, English-only vows to tear out tongues, exiled witnesses to collective memory and homeland ties. Sacred words are in danger, trapped, they hang on billboards, Judas goats to conjure deception. Sing them, shout them, teach them, wear them around your neck, amulets against amnesia. Marilyn, I will forever wear your words around my neck, my very own amulet. Thank you. I want to bring up Alicia Rodriguez. Alicia was, yes, this is a Puerto Rican independista political sister, Marilyn's sister, who spent 19 years inside. So please honor Alicia.
I also want to thank all my brothers, all my sisters here in California. It's true, this did take a lot of work. I'm glad that Puerto Rico can be part of this celebration. And I want to point out, there's a photo of my home in Guabate. Así que Marilyn tiene un espacio en mi casa. You are welcome to my home.
When I found out that I was going to be invited to this event, I spoke to several of my elders. So I want to acknowledge that Doña Isabel Rosado is presente. Last Friday, she celebrated her 103rd birthday. Don Rafael Cancer Miranda, one of our national heroes, wrote a message, and because of the time factor, I want to at least share a paragraph here. It says, "Whenever I mention your name, I always add revolutionary. Marilyn Buck, the revolutionary. Knowing of your existence in that of the Black Liberation Army, Prairie Fire, AIM Movement, and the FALN, strengthened my belief that the peoples within the United States would someday rise and fight for the social justice to which you dedicated your life. We owe it to ourselves never to forget you. You are and will always be an inspiration to continue the struggle." Así que, Don Rafael también presente. They asked me to speak from the heart, but I'm the type of person that has a lot of nervous energy. So the way to center myself is to reflect and put things in writing. And I wrote from Puerto Rico. I said, "Marilyn, many thoughts enter my mind when I think of you. Today you are more present than ever before. Marilyn, although I only shared 3 of the 25 long years of your incarceration, I will never regret a single moment of my life because every pain, happiness, and frustration led me to you. There is a bond that unites us. There are many threads that weave us all together here today. Your thread in this web of life shimmers and glows and makes you special. It is my opinion that your love for truth inspired you to become a poet. You challenged yourself and helped me understand the importance of finding a voice against prison's quest to self-center. I smile now, thinking about the love inside of you and your quest to find the right words, to unmask, to provoke, and to liberate. Your love for truth in the world and in yourself made you vulnerable. Yet that vulnerability gave you strength and allowed you to grow. You developed the stamina to feel the pain of poverty, to look at the bloody consequences of war and shattered, alienated souls, lost to alcohol, drugs, consumerism, and other human addictions. You learned to see and feel at the deepest level. Whenever Lolita Lebrón and I spoke of you, she talked about her deep admiration for you. Lolita recognized the energy and power of your youth when she met you in the federal prison in Alderson, West Virginia. It was her wish that you would have returned from that furlough. But instead, you went underground and were later incarcerated for 25 years. In the early 1980s, I was in segregation in a women's state penitentiary in Dwight, Illinois. One evening, during the 6 o'clock news, it was announced that you and others were captured. It was a sad day for me. No one wishes prison for anyone, let alone a comrade. But how else were we going to meet? Your warrior spirit inspired so many of us. You were with us throughout the entire period when we reflected and discussed whether to sign Clinton's offer that eventually released the 11 Puerto Rican political prisoners. As a soldier, you understood that it was not an easy decision. So much was at stake. We made the Justice Department wait over 3 weeks before all the Puerto Rican political prisoners could agree on a decision. This period was extremely tense, but never did you stop offering us your unconditional support and clear-headed advice. On the day of our release from prison, you were with my sister and I in our cell. When it was announced over the prison loudspeaker that we were to report to the Office of Receiving and Discharge,
That day, your heart and soul rejoiced. It was too much for me to bear. As we looked into each other's eyes, it was not just a reflection of you that I saw. My heart felt Linda Evans, Oscar Lopez Rivera, Carlos Alberto Torres, and Aide Beltran. I stood frozen in my tracks. I hated prison even more since so many political prisoners were being left behind prison walls. I had the strength to endure many years in prison, but it was very difficult to walk out and leave so many behind. I was inconsolable. It was your hand that clutched mine and guided me down the stairs and outside. A part of me knew that I had to let go, but I didn't know how. Marilyn, you walked me all the way across the prison compound, knowing full well that we were leaving you behind. Marilyn, life has its mysteries and connections. You chose to depart this earth 2 days after Lolita Lebron passed into immortality. You fought hard to be released from prison and continue your work. It is quite possible that you fought death in order to stay here on earth, in order to continue to be there for others. That was not to be. I know that you met death with the same integrity and raw honesty which characterized your life. Your soul took flight like a butterfly spreading newfound wings. And in so, I want to dedicate this Hopi prayer to you. Hold on to what is good, even if it is a handful of earth. Hold on to what you believe, even when it is a tree that stands by yourself or by itself. Hold on to what you must do, even when it is a long way from here. Hold on to life, even when it is easier to let go. Hold on to my hand, even when I have gone away. Así que, Marilyn, te queremos muchísimo. And thank you for your love of life. Gracias.
That was Alicia Rodriguez, Puerto Rican independista and former political prisoner. She was followed by artist Miranda Bergman.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Miranda Bergman, and I'm here to pay tribute to Marilyn Buck, the artist. I'm a muralist, a painter, and an educator, and I go way back with Marilyn to when we lived in an activist commune in the Haight-Ashbury in 1970. So many years passed, times changed, we lost touch with each other for some time, and then thanks to my partner Felix, we got back in touch, and I started visiting her at Dublin over 15 years ago. And we were really close. I also got to go to Texas when she became extremely ill, and to New York. And like many people here and around the world, I loved Marilyn, and I'm grieving her deeply. She needed to be an artist. When Marilyn found that artist core of herself, she unlocked an invisible, warm, safe house for her spirit. With imagination and resilience, Marilyn created an exemplary life inside the soul-murdering conditions of federal prison. She put her foot down and she lived. With no room to maneuver except for the space that she created with the other women inside and her webs of support, which all of you are part of, she was able to really transform herself into an artist, into a skillful and soulful artist. And her artistry was really multifaceted. She was a filmmaker, a poet, a ceramicist, and a visual artist. And all of that was fueled by her vibrant intellect and her creative curiosity. She really understood the power of culture. With poetry, Marilyn found that she could liberate really vulnerable and fierce feelings and still evade the state censorship. Her published poetry won her lots of prizes and acknowledgement, And I'm happy to tell you that there will be a new book of her poetry out next year, titled Inside Shadows. Marilyn's ceramic work, which you'll see some of in the room next door, was wonderful. She loved the sensuality of clay. It was a way of touching the earth with her human hands, defying the locks, the strip searches, the daily humiliations. Her hands shaped her visions and dreams into something so concrete. Her imagination, her meaning-making, entered the clay with every brushstroke of glaze. And I like to think about her when she was awaited her new pieces would come out of the kiln, because each creation was a tangible victory over the crushing monotony and repression of prison long time. Her artwork is truly an antidote, a healing balm. Being an artist helped her grow more creatively in touch with herself and with people all over the world. I cry when I think about how much more art would have come out of her. Over the many years of visiting her, we talked about everything, about ourselves as women, artists, and people with revolutionary ideas and hearts living in non-revolutionary times. We free-flowed between art and politics, my murals, her ceramics, Palestine and painting, COINTELPRO and collage, dungeons and drawing. Jane Norlane, who's my dear friend and artist, who also knew Marilyn before she was inside, started coming on some of the visits. And together we would talk about art and read things, and we read an essay in a magazine called Race Traitor that was about the anti-colonial and anti-imperialist roots of the surrealist art movement. And we were intrigued by that, so we decided to try some experiments, and we called ourselves the Surrealist Sisters. And in doing this art together, we found a place of freedom and collaboration, experimentation, laughter, wit, and questioning. What could we create to transcend the bars and the barbed wire? We made collective artworks using surrealist methods such as Exquisite Corpse. The surprises that occurred in the process sparked our future pieces and nourished our closeness. Last night was the closing of an exhibit in San Francisco for Dia de los Muertos, where we created a large installation called Marilyn Buck Presente. And we thought of it as a continuing collaboration with Marilyn. I invite all of you to find the active artist within yourself and join me in allowing Marilyn's great, creative, revolutionary spirit to collaborate with you in all that you do. Thank you, Marilyn.
That was Miranda Bergman. She was followed by Gemma Merkinson, concluding the first part of the celebration of the life of Marilyn Buck, poet, artist, and revolutionary, held at the First Congregational Church in Oakland, California, on November 7th, 2010.
Make this really brief because I'm not good at this in front of a billion people. Marilyn would be so proud right now because I'm actually up here.
It's very difficult to figure out what to say. For me and Tanya here, we knew Marilyn our whole lives. She was like a mother to both of us. Marilyn helped me navigate through all aspects of my life, personal, political, and everything in between. She taught me how to be strong and clear, to always question authority. Marilyn guided me towards feminism by constantly reminding me of the reasons why we must think about the systems we struggle against as having patriarchal roots. She taught me to be humble and open to change. Through her own actions, Marilyn taught me to avoid rigidity, to evolve, to live and act with integrity no matter the circumstances. This wasn't always easy. She told me about myself on several occasions. But she never rejected me on account of this. She pushed me. She held me to the same expectations that she had for herself. She taught me about respect and responsibility. Marilyn was always interested in young people and what we were doing politically and socially. One of the hardest aspects of her death is not knowing what she would have done with her life and freedom, what she would have offered into the conversations that young activists and young women are having all across the globe, what she would have written, what her freedom would have really looked like. I got to spend the last week of Marilyn's life with her. It was hard. It was remarkable to see her in New York. She slid into freedom so flawlessly. It was like she had been practicing and gearing herself up, and there was no way she was going to let that disease stop her. The day before she died, she texted me about having a slumber party. She cracked up at how cool it was to be sitting in her house texting. It was pretty cool. That was such a beautiful day. She was herself. She was present. She was free. We ate avocados and tomatoes and Jamaican soup. We teased each other. We touched. We listened to tango music and Buddhist chants. That night, the night before she died, Marilyn looked me straight in the eye and said, "No one's going to force you to leave here, and no one's going to force me to leave, because we are home." My love for Marilyn is stratums deep. I struggle to make my words do her justice. So much of who I am is the result of her guidance, her wit, her honesty, her clarity, her humility, her fierceness, her steadfastness, her love. The loss to our community is immense. Marilyn, your absence is so profound. I wanted to just keep on holding your hand. We carry you with us as we struggle, as we work to free all the other political prisoners in this country and around the world, as we love and as we live. And I know for me and Tanya, we are so truly honored that she allowed us to be a part of her life. And we will continue to carry her on. Thank you.
For more information on Marilyn, please go to the webpage of Friends of Marilyn Buck at marilynbuck.com. This program was recorded by Jeffrey Blankford. I'm Mariah Gilarden. Thank you for listening.